Sometimes dead is better.
The following podcast is not responsible for Pete.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, I did it. It was the voiceover guy. He was just making sure that, you know, everyone was in the loop that there is another Pete pick on this week's episode.
But it's a banger, isn't it?
I enjoy it.
Boy, Nate, you're a little hot and cold here.
It's really hot in here, fellas. It's really... I don't want to... Pete, take it over.
Oh, God. Okay, fine. Welcome back to Give Me Back My Horror Movies. My name is Pete. Joining me tonight is Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Pete.
Nate is also with us. We're not sure what's wrong with Nate. We think he may have, lost a couple of brain cells. I do know that you're drinking tonight, right, Nate?
I'm only having one. I'm being responsible. It's a Monday.
You don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah, but I got to wake up.
Okay.
That's the hard part.
Moving along. Welcome back to the show. It is Dustin. Dustin, hello.
My name is Horace.
I'm sorry. Horace. That's right. It says your name right there. Very good. And also, once again, from the Flicks and Friends podcast, it's Paul. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Oh, first time.
Well, that's why you don't let me drive this car.
It's fine.
Took us off a cliff.
That can't be right. Hey,
if it makes you feel better,
everyone's first time is awkward. So it makes sense that it went this way.
Yeah, this is really strange. I'm like, no, Paul's been on this show before. I swear it.
We're just
and then I'm like. Thinking of a movie, I'm like, no, he definitely was not.
We've been on the show a number of times. Okay.
We're just fumbling in the dark right here. It's natural.
Oh yeah.
Like just two teenagers in the back of a sedan, you know,
in the back of a Volkswagen.
Yeah, Volkswagen. There we go.
We got.
Is this thing
we're getting DP tonight?
Oh yeah, baby.
So we got a
Charlotte's so disappointed right now.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I thought this was a kid-friendly show. I wanted to make that joke. But
Dr. Peppers. Dr. Peppers. I forgot.
Dork Peppers.
What happens when we don't have structure. Okay.
This is what happens on a Pete-centered episode. Hey, the guy warned everyone.
You were supposed to drive, and you handed the wheel off to me, and so I drove it right off the road.
The problem is Nate literally just took the wheel off the column and handed it to me. Now we're careening off the cliff.
You got this, right?
Who does that? Do I have this? Tonight, the one, the only Monster Squad. From all of our childhoods, we love it, and I've already forgotten what year it was. 1984, was it?
Correct.
87. Way off, Pete.
It's not that far off.
One thing, this movie was selected by the audience, so they got to choose what movie we get to do.
Indeed.
Yeah, audience.
Good job, audience.
Looking at you.
We have a couple of sourpusses in the audience.
Not because of this movie. We're okay, also part of the audience, too.
Yeah, we were part of the audience.
You got a bone to pick with the audience.
Yeah.
I listened to a whole Pantyhead episode, and I can't even get one power.
You should watch
episode.
The movie. It's wonderful. How about we not
really
talk about panties on
no,
this movie?
No, we don't talk
movie.
About HK, especially during Kids Month. It'll get you on a list.
Absolutely get you on a list. So no, we put out a poll for everyone to pick a kid-friendly horror movie. Nate and I put up some selections that we knew we were losing. As soon as Pete said Monster Squad, there was no contest.
There was no way we were gonna win.
It won by a landslide. I'm pretty sure the only people that voted for mine and Nate's movies was me and Nate. So that's why we're
back
doing
on. I didn't pick a good one. That's on me.
I went quirky and also a Fred Drecker movie. So, I picked House 2. So at least I was in the same vein.
Catter puppies are so cute.
They're adorable, and I do love that movie.
And so, Mummy Grandpa's, yeah.
Oh yeah. But That's why we're here right now. But no one can deny that Monster Squad is literally one of those movies that when you want to get your kids watching a little bit more, I don't want to say adult, because there's nothing adult about this movie, but a little bit more frightening, a little bit more intense of a horror movie, but still super kid friendly.
I guess so. PG-13, just Goonies with horror. Is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
It's Goonies easily. Meets Universal Monsters. Is
yeah. Yeah. Yep. With just a splash of gore in it. Yep.
Which but actually, somehow they're a little rougher than the Goonies even were, too. So, oh, yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, Fred Drager talks about in Wolfman Got Nards how he wrote this script as the idea of Little Rascals meets Universal Monsters. That was his whole idea, is what this exactly
I
was.
I see that a lot more than I do the Goonies aspect. Yeah, I get the Goonies as far
just
as.
Just because of the time.
Kids on an
and
adventure.
And the dog, yeah.
Well, they even the had dog. The He Man Woman Hater Club.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
no,
right.
No girls allowed. No girls
that clubhouse.
Choice. Oh, yeah.
Dude, it had multiple
where did
levels.
They get the zombie poster in 1987?
It looked into the window of the girl next door. Yeah, it was great.
One of the kids' sisters.
Yeah. That's not creepy at all.
Not whatsoever.
That's us boys being boys.
With cameras set up and binoculars.
It's. Yeah, it's one of these. There are a lot of things really wrong with this movie that in today's eyes we're like,
there's
slut shaming. There's a lot of shaming in this movie that would not fly today.
Slurs, there's all sorts of rough language for small kids. Anyway, it was a product of the time, and this is one of those movies where. You got to look at the movie in a time capsule, not in today's eyes, or you're just going to tear it apart. And you'll never enjoy it. And there are people today that are going to be just like that. They're not going to be able to watch this movie without thinking, this is completely un-PC, which it is. And I can't enjoy it because of all the things that aren't cool today, the things that aren't acceptable today. So I don't know. Is this something where since we lived through this time, we're able to separate time and place?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the show's about. But that's what I'm saying.
Folks today? Can they do it?
So
it depends.
That's right. That's a good lead in because I showed this movie to my wife. Had never seen this movie. She's older than me and had never seen this movie. It just one like a lot of people haven't seen this movie. It just kind of skipped a lot of people.
Mind boggling. You haven't.
It was hard to find for years. That was the biggest problem. But my kids have obviously never seen it. And for Halloween, we do a family movie night every week. And that was my pick this past October because they'd never seen it. And everyone absolutely loved the movie. My wife absolutely loved the movie. But when we got to those parts, I had to explain to my kids because they know those are words we don't use. They know the words that they're hurtful words. And I was like, this is just a product of its time. Because there are modern films that use those words, but they use them to define a character or so on and so forth. But I told them, this is just a product of the time. It was I guess it's just a little less understanding of what those words could really mean to people. And how they treat people, they know not to call kids fat, and they know not to call kids sluts and stuff like that. So it's just explained to them as they watch it, but it doesn't to them. It didn't take away them enjoying the film. They're like, okay, I know I can't do those things, say those things, but I can still find value in this movie.
It's almost like you decide to be a parent and do what you're supposed to do. That's weird.
And then he'll take Milo to go see Violent Night.
Yeah, took it to the theater.
As you're supposed to do. Once again, he's just being a parent.
The boy must grow to be a warrior.
I said, let the boy watch.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's get everybody in the mood here real quick because we're already into the heavies of this movie. But let's go ahead and hit the trailer because, yes, trailer. Thank God.
And then I got a thing after the trailer to read.
And then Nate has a thing.
To see your thing, Nate. I told you.
I'm pulling it out.
Put the dork away.
You know who to call when you have ghosts. But who do you call when you have monsters?
We're the Monster Squad.
What's a squad?
It's like a take my own advice, I think.
They're young and inexperienced.
Naughty virgin!
They're a bit disorganized.
Monsters are not real.
We don't know that, sir.
2,000-year-old dead guys do not get up and walk away by themselves.
But when strange things start happening in town...
There's a monster in my closet.
Ooh! Look at that big, scary monster!
What's happening?
You wait till the werewolf.
Silver bullet?
They're the only ones ready to do battle.
Something's out there that's killing people. And if it's monsters, nobody's gonna do a thing about it but us.
Soon the creatures of the night shall rule the world.
Real monsters? Us? Midnight in the world, remember? Maybe if we can be like Mask Squad and Stygia. Two mask bombs. The book is right. Don't you think it's all true?
By midnight.
You guys.
They won't seem so young anymore. Monster Squad.
Wolfman's gone.
There's you an 80s trailer.
Yeah, that's a good trailer.
Quality.
Yeah. All right, Nate. You said you had something to whip out on us. So
I do. So this comes from the director, Fred Decker himself. And this is part of the 20th anniversary. So this has been, it's getting closer to 30 years at this point. But anyway, he said 20 years ago, Monster Squad was released to dismissive critical reaction and anemic box office. To quote my longtime agent, the silence was deafening. Years went by. Then something odd happened. I began to get inklings the movie was being discovered on cable and home video. T-shirts and VHS tapes started popping up on eBay. There were punk bands and websites. A waiter once looked at my credit card receipt and said, "Are you the Fred Decker who directed the Monster Squad?" When I said yes, he asked for an autograph. Cut to, as we screenwriters say, April 2006. Thanks largely to Eric Vesp of Ain't It Cool News, I was sitting in the lobby of the Alamo Draft House in Austin, Texas, signing more autographs, lots of them, because there was a line of fans out the door and down the street, all of them there to see the movie on the big screen. That night, the Monster Squad played the two sold-out screenings, cheering crowds. More screenings followed all over the country, then conventions and personal appearances. The fan base was proving itself not only passionate, but also huge. And without fail, every other question was the same. Where's the DVD? As you hold the answer to the question in your hands, it is finally gratefully occurs to me. The movie did find its audience after all. It just took 20 years. And yes, Wolfman still has nards. So a couple things here why I wanted to read it. It's kind of shocking to know a movie of this stature. It took till 2006 to get a release. Even getting a, one of those old school DVDs that have like the black snap,
the cardboard black snap.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. My dog likes to eat back in the day. cardboard tastes good. But then also this leads to, I didn't see this movie till like maybe 8 years ago. I've only seen this movie once until last night.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's, to be honest, man, I'm envious of you. To be truthfully honest.
But like that also led to why we brought on Dustin and Paul, because I know they're huge fans of this movie. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take it away with them with their first memory of this.
Let me just say something though, real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to correct what you just said.
What's that?
Not about Fred Drecker or Decker. It's about that you had Dustin and Paul come on. I was absconded by in the group chat going, "Hey, when are you guys recording? Because we're going to come on," basically. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, here's
how
it
was. Hey, would you guys like to come on? It was, "You ain't doing this without me. And I'm bringing Paul with me."
Hey, I'm just an innocent bystander.
And you're upset by this?
You see,
no, I just needed to clarify what happened. If you were a narrator, you got it wrong.
I'm here at gunpoint, okay?
Yeah. So. You see, what happened is I reached out and I said, hey, when are me and Paul coming on to do the Monster Squad?
I'm glad you both were free.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't quit their jobs or anything like that.
And to defend Charlie, Dustin did tell me that he goes, Dustin goes, hey, the guys really want us on for Monster Squad.
It's not that we didn't.
Charlie, I think you and he are you and I are victims here. We're victims in the story, Charlie.
Somehow it just kind of happened. And I just love how Nate's like, hey, we had the good graciousness to invite him onto the show. And I'm like, that is not what happened, sir. We need to get this narrative correct.
Invite revoked.
Good. Dang it.
It's all good. It's all good. They didn't hack us, so we'll call it a win. So yeah, let's start with our huge fans. But I want to make Dustin wait a little bit. Paul, what is your first experience with Monster Squad?
So this is one of those movies we've all had this discussion before. I don't know, can't pinpoint exactly when I saw this, but I remember seeing this as a kid. This was a VHS rental, I want to say, for me at one point. But it was one of those that would just randomly come on local TV channels, like during the day, especially during Halloween season. And it just had everything that I wanted. It had, you know, obviously kids I could relate to. It had monsters, and it wasn't scary. At least it wasn't scary to me, but it was scary enough to where I felt like I was a big boy watching a scary movie. So I was like, this is cool. And this to me is top five quintessential gateway horror film, like to get people get the kids respect the classics. Cause my son immediately wanted to know more about Universal Monsters when we got done watching it. But yeah, so my first earliest memory, and then it was just a long period of time when there was no way to watch this or find it. And then they had, was it 2007 was the DVD release?
2006.
Okay. So that was the next time I was able to see it, and it was all, and I had the copy of it, but it was one of my many, many, many casualties over years of moving and dogs chewing stuff up and never replace it, thinking, oh, I'll get this again one day. And just never did until I bought it on digital a few years ago. And now I've worn it out again. But this is one of those memories, one of those movies I talk about with people I remember this movie as a kid. Do you remember this movie? And people have no clue what I'm talking about. Sorry.
You said it one time. They say it one time in the movie. It's okay.
I used it.
I
used it for the show. Charlie, don't be disappointed in me. It is. I gotta go
dust off the gun. Dang.
I don't edit myself with my kids. It's hard enough for them to do it with adults. But yeah, I will do better. I'll do better, Charlie. I promise.
Do better, Paul. Do better.
Be proud of me, Dad.
Paul, be a better person, okay?
But yeah, so it was. I don't even know where I am. I got so flustered because I said a bad word.
As one,
you're grounded.
As one should. You
Shame
should
you.
Get
you
flustered.
Kiss your mother with that mouth.
Bad word.
I'm gonna go do 10 Holy Marys and
Stations of the Cross. Yeah.
But yeah, this is one of those movies where you ask people if they'd ever seen it, and they're most people never heard of it until, you know, I started meeting fellow people who loved movies the way I love movies, and you tend to find it, especially of all of our age brackets, almost everyone in our age bracket who loves film has seen that movie because what it did to form what way we looked at horror films going forward as children. But yeah, I saw it when I was little.
That's a real easy edit, Charlie. Just it's like, yeah, I saw it when I was little.
Yeah, it just get kind of
real easy edit. But
all of it I watched when I was little.
Thanks, Paul.
Really short episode.
Glad you could make it.
All right, Dustin's foaming at the mouth right now. He is so excited to talk about this. Dustin, what is your first memory with Monster Squad?
Well, like Paul, this was absolutely a rented movie all the time. I would, you know, being drawn to the cover, you know, seeing the monsters, seeing the kids, and I'm about to be blasphemous. I prefer this over the Goonies, like, tenfold.
That's not blasphemous. You like what you like, babe.
Yeah, I just I like yeah, exactly. I yuck my own yum, I guess. But growing up with this.
This is a kids podcast, Dustin.
I don't know if that was, if that's better or worse than what Paul said.
I prefer, like I said, I prefer this over the Goonies because of its context. And like Paul, like it disappeared. And I would talk to people like, man, do you guys remember that movie that had the kids fighting the, you know, Wolfman and Frankenstein? And no one would know what I was talking about. And then along came 2006 with this DVD that came out. I'm like, that's the movie I've been talking about. And since being a movie collector, I've tried to own this movie all the time. And we're all collectors of sort, you know, like the VHS, the actual VHS of this movie is, Paul, what was it? Like, it's like it goes over for like $100 by itself.
At minimum. That's usually in beat up condition, yeah.
Because it was only distributed overseas. It was never distributed over here originally.
Same with Laserdisc. Oh, really? Yeah, same with Laserdisc
as
well.
VHS wasn't...
Yeah.
No, man. What they did is they got it on syndication on HBO, and that's where I remember watching it a lot, was on HBO. And then it came out, and then I got adult money, and I started buying Blu-rays, and then I got the 4K finally, you know, and the 4K transfer is beautiful.
Nice.
You know, it's awesome. But no, this growing up, seeing these Universal monsters, that made me become a fan of not like the special effects that aren't CGI, because these, and then again, I also learned who Stan Winston was because of this, you know, and it's just, my love for it is astronomical. I could be here all night, and I don't want to be, because I know Nate wants to talk about it next. So.
Oh. Is that my cue? Wow.
Oh, I don't know.
I like this. I know. I like this. Off, he's sir. Now handing the steering wheel from the back seat back to the front. It's pretty great.
I got ejected from the car after that tumble.
Yeah, that's what the big red button's for. So, like I said, it was about 8 years ago when I was living in my old apartment. I found the DVD and bought it because this would have been around the time the first season of Stranger Things came out. And
eight
I kept reading.
Ago? God, I think you're right.
Maybe nine. Whenever that first season dropped, because I remember people reading about people talking about this movie. Now, I've never heard of that, but then realized Shane Black and Fred Dekker were involved. And I was like, oh, cool. And found the DVD for like $5. I was like, awesome. Great. Bought it, watched it, went, I like that. And then I have not watched it since. And then I watched it again last night. And I'm kind of not in the same ballpark as everyone else, where it's like, I like it, I don't love it. I think it's got enjoyable moments to it, but I don't think it's got enough of the Monster Squad. I don't think it's got enough of the monsters, and that really bums me out. So that is kind of where I'm at with it, where it's like it's enjoyable enough, but I'm curious to see why everyone loves it so much. And am I wrong? Am I broken? Because I feel like I'm not getting something here. Because even when the polls went live, man, did everyone go crazy for Monster Squad, like really hard. And I was like, I haven't seen this in forever. I hope it's like enjoyable. And it is. It's just not my bag of tea, I guess. I don't know. Something's off. So that's my history with the movie, is twice now. Two times, as I get a lot of angry stares from our guest.
Not angry. Like I just said, man.
Listening. Yeah.
I'm envious, to be truthfully honest. Like, you got to experience it for kind of like a first time, you know? And
yeah, basically.
I wish I could go back and experience this for a first time.
Well, that's the thing. I don't have the nostalgia.
That's with also this the movie. Problem. That's which is experience exactly. It when he was a child. If you want to go back and experience it for the first time, you go back in that 12-year-old Dustin or Paul or Nate.
Yeah.
And that's when you experience it. Mm-hmm. Which is one of my concerns about. Not modern day people, but today, if this is a first time watch for kids, is this going to resonate like it did for us when we were that age, experiencing similar things in school and technology and fashion?
Now, there's a couple things here too. The original poster is phenomenal.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Sitting on the hood of the car.
That car's awesome.
Yeah.
The characters are great. all the Universal monsters in the background. The you know who to call when you have ghosts, but who do you call when you have monsters? This sells itself.
That's how
so damn well.
That's how it's, Hollywood sold movies back then, is through a poster, and you'd get a trailer in theater, but you didn't get you didn't get something on YouTube back then. You had to sell it through a poster.
But
you'd see it in the newspaper, or if you were actually in the theater, you'd see it walking by on this coming soon.
And you didn't get that poster though when this movie was being promoted. Like what they did is they did billboards of big wanted posters, and it was all the Universal monsters, and the Mummy's wanted poster was wanted for statutory rap.
Oh God, that sounds like 1987.
Dude, like yeah. I'm being, like, dude, it was, it's yeah.
That sounds like 87.
What?
Yeah,
but like,
I get why this movie flopped, because I don't think in 1987 people were ready to revisit Universal Monsters, because we are talking about slashers and what 80s horror was bringing. To go that far back into the 20s and but 30s and 40s.
30. So what year was Goonies?
That was, I don't know. 80,
that's your 80, thing.
85.
So we're not far removed from Goonies.
We're not.
And Goonies was a smash hit.
And I get they're going for that same crowd.
They had all the money to advertise.
But they don't have Steven Spielberg. That's the other thing.
I think it had everything to do with the rating. I think like the parents wouldn't drag their kids to go see this PG-13 monster.
Which was new. PG-13 was still very new.
Really new at that time.
And like Dustin said, I'm glad he did. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the Goonies. It doesn't click for me. Like, you know, like it's just one of those movies. Like, I never related to any of those kids. Like, so it just never is really stuck out to me, even as a kid.
You were the the dork in the groups. You were
I didn't like it.
That's my mom's favorite piece.
Right.
Oh, so funny. Oh my God. It's upside down.
Yeah, he's pissing in our faces.
Slick shoes.
Pete, what is your first experience that we have Charlie go last?
Old man Pete saw this in the movie theaters. And
lucky, man.
Here's my folks loved going to the theater. And so we went to go see this before I saw this in the theater. My dad had already introduced me to the Universal Monsters, whether it was waking me up in the middle of the night to watch Dracula on Elvira or whatever horror host was playing, whatever in our area. I got to see a good amount of those, especially the big ones, Wolfman, Creature, things like that. So when I went to go see this, I was already familiar with the characters. And then you throw kids my age-ish into this theater. It just all of that just meshed really well. It was funny. It was quotable. All the kids in school were saying, Wolfman's got nards. I got slimed. We came, we saw, we kicked its butt. These are all things that were said in the halls of my junior high. And yeah, it was like, now here's, okay. I remember renting this on VHS. Now you guys just said it wasn't available on VHS. So
am it I having okay.
Retail.
So
retail.
And not everybody had it available to rent because it was $100 a copy for.
Oh yeah. That was normal.
Yeah,
that was normal because it was
and it wasn't in demand. It made no money in the box office,
so they probably only got like one or two at most five.
I know my mom, Pa Store, never carried a copy of this. You know,
okay,
neither did mine.
I do remember renting this a couple of times because it was so much fun. I was in junior high at that time, so I was a little older than some of the kids in the show, but it's still. It still harkened back to Goonies, Stand By Me, things like that, where you had kid-centric heroes, so to speak. I lost my train of thought. So it went, there it goes. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I didn't watch this movie again until last year, actually, and I introduced my 8-year-old nephew to it. And he thought it was okay, which made me a little sad because this is near and dear to my heart. I think it has a lot of heartfelt, wonderful things to it. And it made me a little sad that he didn't like. Now, he did like Mothra when I showed it to him. He did like that one. So we're good. But yeah, this one didn't really resonate with him. And then I watched it again yesterday and just made me smile all over again. I dearly love this movie.
Nice. So, Charlie, what is your first experience with this?
So this one I had to think back on because I kept going, I don't remember watching this as a kid. I remember watching it at a fairly young age, but I want to say I was like late teens before I actually ever saw this movie. And I remember watching it and going, it's like Goonies. But I'm going to kind of be with Nate right here and go, it doesn't strike me like it strikes a lot of people. Like with I really think there is a finite time for someone to watch this movie as far as age and for it to resonate with them. Because by the time I was in my late teens, I was watching R-rated movies. I was watching people's guts get ripped out. I was watching some of the scariest stuff I could get my hands on. And then I go back and watch a kid movie that was fun. And then we let the kids watch this a couple years ago. That, you know, the whole reason we're doing this. And let me say, this is a perfect movie to get kids into watching horror movies if they're wanting to go down that path. And they watched it and they were kind of like, okay, that was fun. And they've never asked to see it again. They never talk about it. They don't do anything about it. I hadn't watched it since then till again last night. And I'm sitting there making Jackie mad because Jackie loves this movie. And I'm sitting there poking 1,000 holes in the plot of this movie, just going, what? That doesn't make any sense. What is happening? Why? What is that? Why? And she's just like, shut up, watch the movie. Act like you're a kid. I was like, I don't think I was this stupid as a kid. Why is this happening in certain parts of this movie? Because I'm like, so Dracula falls out of an airplane unexpectedly, but it just so happens to be where he needed to land. And just so happens to be where the creature lives. That also has a museum with a 2,000-year-old mummy and the house that Van Helsing's family buried the amulet in and a swamp.
Dracula's had 100 years to plan for this.
And Van Helsing's
much
book,
like Pete had a year to plan for February and still bombed it.
And it was awesome.
Well, and I was but see, also, I think I like to defend that. To defend this. While we're here, I want to defend this a little bit. So he doesn't move in the airplane until he knows where he needs to be. It's dead quiet all the way up until that point. And then all of a sudden they hear him moving in the back. So he knows where he's at. He knows he's where he needs to be.
So why didn't he go pull the lever and drop? Why did he need to get the other guy involved?
Maybe he wanted to eat him. He's Dracula.
I honestly think
he's got a bloodlust.
He was caught by surprise, to be. I feel like.
Yeah, because he didn't kill the guy.
He falls. And Dracula. But then, is there a werewolf epidemic in this town? Because this dude is raving mad that he's going to turn. And I'm like, dude, is this an issue that we should have known? Is this in another movie? Like,
no.
Why?
I honestly think that was triggered because of Dracula's appearance at that point.
Then how did he know he was a werewolf?
Because
he runs into that police station going, lock me up.
Well, do you
lock
know
me
is?
Up.
Like, did you recognize him?
One of the original.
You could throw a pigskin over that mountain.
Yeah.
Uncle Rico.
What? No.
Yeah.
What?
But
mind stated. Blown.
I know as a kid, you're supposed to not pay attention to this kind of stuff. And I get it. But I was sitting there as a 44-year-old going, and I know who wrote this, and it makes me even more mad because it's Shane Black. And I love Shane Black. We're talking Lethal Weapon. Everything I love about action movies. And then I'm like, he wrote this. It helped write because I know Fred did a lot of different things on it. like Dracula all of a sudden has the most pimped out hearse you could ever want. It's got a skull on the front.
Yeah.
He's got a hundred.
He literally landed like 45 minutes earlier. Yeah. It's, I'm just here. Ta-da. I
literally have no complaints with any of this. Like, what you're complaining about, what bothered me at all.
That's what bothered me. That literally is what's bothering me. Because
I'm in the mindset, like, it's just a kid's movie. Let them do, you know, because it'd be like, why is Pennywise in that house? Or why did they knock that baseball into that old man's yard? Like,
also, there's a good chance. Door. There's a good chance there's a Renfield in this world, and he probably had all this stuff ready for him, ready and available.
Yeah. I think Dracula could live at more than one residence.
Well, yeah. He was. Why did the Van Helsings go there with the diary? And I still don't understand how the kid got the diary other
why
than his mom
why
dropped
is the sky
it off.
Blue?
Because it's not. It's clear.
Charlie, you don't have a movie if all these things don't happen perfectly.
But I'm just sitting there I can't get over this. Like, I'm enjoying the movie. Don't get me wrong. But I'm also sitting there going, I don't get this. Like, I kind of understand why it bombed. I kind of sitting there going, as an adult in the 80s, I'd have been like, what the beep? Somebody already took it. Is going on during this movie? Everything else I love. I love Frank, you know, Frankenstein's monster and the little girl. Yes. I love, you know, him. I love the interaction with the little girl.
Oh, she's wonderful.
I honestly kept
that
getting mad.
No business being that good.
I was really mad at the friends kept calling Horace the fat kid. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the insult the bullies put on him, and EJ stopped it. But his best friends kept calling him fat kid. And I'm like, it's cool things. If you do it once or twice as buddies poking at each other.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also like,
keep going.
Did Chunk have a real name?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I made him do the truffle shuffle just so he could
come
in the yard.
Mouth, inside the house.
Mouth made him do that. Mouth was a real dirt, they all call him Chunk. Well, yeah, there's nicknames and then there's fat kid.
Right.
What you're saying is they needed a better nickname for him being chubby.
Yeah. Blubber.
To be fair,
Snickers. Call him Snickers. I don't know, but just
to be
I like. I really like that.
That's product placement, you get a joke out of it.
I go for one. Oh, right there, Shade Black. Call me. We need to get you on the show.
Snickers be like, our candy bars don't make you fat. You just have a glandular problem. That's all.
Yeah, it's glandular. Yeah.
I'm not fat. I'm big boned.
And to be fair, I think only the one kid really repetitively called him fat kid in the group.
The leader. The one that's in charge. Yeah, the leader called him like he goes, stop it, fat kid. Shut up, fat kid. We're going like right before they go into the mansion to get the ambulance. He only calls him fat kid. Kick him in the nards, fat kid. Like his name's Horace.
But I honestly think, I think
that moment doesn't pay off if you don't do that.
That's what I was trying to say.
But, man, that's where a nickname should have been. And then because the bullies called him fat kid.
Yeah, I agree there.
At that moment, that's when he goes, my name's Horace.
The bullies called him more than just fat kid.
Yeah, we're not going to repeat it because we're not going to. That's a product of its time.
Yeah. That one's not. That one's only the bullies.
Look, yeah, what's his name? Was it Jason Harvey? Like, that kid plays a really good.
He's from the Wonder Years. He was the brother.
He stole Pee-wee's bike.
Yeah.
Right. Is he? He has only played some kind of a jackass. And
he does it really well.
One of those guys just
got probably tag casting.
He's a wonderful person.
Yeah, there we go.
But I do want to be clear that I don't think this isn't a bad movie. I think it's perfect. Example of what we're doing this month. I think it's just I kind of understand why it rode this weird line, and it did not help it that this movie literally did disappear from existence for what feels like an eternity. It got sucked into that void.
Discovery story.
Now let
almost
me say
20
this:
years, almost 20 years.
This movie still has one of the most outrageous opening scenes in cinema.
God, dude,
the title card.
Dude,
is perfect.
A Hammer movie. Or no, that's a Universal movie straight out. Like
they put in the little hammer flare to it too. Like that's why all the monsters looked the way they did. They wanted it to be hammer-esque because Universal said absolutely not. Yeah, you cannot use our monsters.
You cannot use our likenesses.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But
so
that opening is just in, like, it doesn't stop. Like, there's demons coming up out of the ground. Well, there's a virgin reading German. There's a vortex happening. Van Helsing comes out and shoots one of the brides with the Patriot arrow from Men in Tights. This thing is giant. Yep. I couldn't help but stop and laugh. I was like, that's the biggest. It's the Patriot arrow is what he shot at it.
I like the opening scroll, too. The
title card's amazing.
Yeah, it's just like this really elaborate, oh, cool, I'm really investing in a monster story, and then they blew it.
They blew it. Come on, why couldn't you have gotten someone to near? I'm waiting for James Earl Jones to read it to me.
I did think that there was something wrong with my DVD, because I was like, I could have sworn someone narrates this. But
they should have when did Boris Karloff pass away?
We can look it up real quick, but I can't think off the top of my head.
Get Vincent Price to do it.
Vincent Price would have still been alive at the time. You're doing Universal Monsters, so that's what I'm thinking, like Boris Karloff.
Edward Scissorhands. That was his last, I wouldn't say starring role, but that was his last acting role.
I love it.
Karloff died in the 60s.
Okay, so he died fairly early. There you go. But I really wanted someone reading that to me, because it goes by kind of quick, too, because you're like, what does all that say? Hold on, let me back up a little bit. And then they blew it. But that whole opening segment is probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. I just love how it opens. It feels, like you said, like the Hammer and Universal monster movies. And I got to give them credit for not being able to copy the Universal monsters. And you have to be careful. Your monsters can't even, be mistaken for those for the Universals, otherwise they can sue you. So they got that line where Dracula's just a little
I think Dracula's the exception, because I want to say it was
he might be public domain,
because he looks exactly like Christopher Lee almost to a T in this movie.
I think where they changed like a little bit of the hair and maybe some of the costuming, but to where the level that, because why wouldn't Frankenstein have been public domain? Because it's almost as old, if not older. But they actually had to put the bolts on his head instead of his neck. They had to change all that. But by far, Stan Winston's Gil Man.
Gil Man looks great.
Stan Winston did not design Gil Man.
They did it in Stan Winston's studio.
But he had nothing to do with it.
John Woodruff Jr., right? Like that.
Yeah. So
basically, when I say Stan Winston,
you mean his studios. Yeah. Gotcha.
The studios.
10-4.
Look, Stan Winston barely really did put, like, unless it was a major
at that point. Yeah. At that point. Yeah.
It was by that.
He was running a business at that point.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha.
Predator was done. All that. Right. His name was out there. But when you look at Gilman, though, you're like,
it's special. It's gorgeous.
There's no better Gilman out there outside of the original.
I think it beats the original.
I think it's better than the original.
It's one piece.
Yeah, I think it's
one piece suit. That had to be
the fact that it made it easier for them, but the fact that its eyes don't blink, because fish wouldn't have eyelids or anything like that, and it's got like that dead look stare to its eyes when, especially at the end right before he gets killed, it's just the way it looks, and it is the purest monster in this movie as far as I'm concerned. I love him to death. And as no slouch to the mummy and stuff.
I really love the mummy. He's got some good gags.
The mummy has my funniest scene in the movie. The scene I laugh. The arrow gets stuck in the tree, and when that tension finally hits it and that camera goes right to the mummy's face where it's like that. And then the bandage starts unraveling. I am cackling. Jackie's like, okay, you are liking this movie. I said, I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said there's holes I'm poking in this thing.
You know, I think there's some bias here with you and Nate. Like, I pick these movies in February. You guys poo-poo all over them. And I finally get to pick something that everybody universally loves. The two of you are...
I'm just as confused as this as well.
It's okay. It's a peep pick. We expect...
Well, it is a peep pick. That is fair. That's a fact.
Backed by the people, so you're not alone. It's not like everyone voted for HK in February.
Yeah,
you know, this is
before I picked it. They would have also voted for HK.
Well, they are in the minority today on this show. It's 3-2.
And I knew we would be. And I honestly,
I knew when the movie ended, I went, I might be Team Charlie on this, and that's a little weird.
That's what you meant.
I didn't understand that because I
remember Charlie had.
Well, it says something that it's not my favorite movie. I understand it and I get why it is for a lot of people, but I had some issues with it. And I also knew I had to be super careful because this is a beloved movie and I'm not here to shit on it, and I'm not shitting on it. If it was on right now, I'd probably sit down and watch it. It's just one of those that it's like, if I had a choice, I'd probably put Goonies in instead.
And
you know,
Charlie's complaints are nowhere near mine.
Okay.
Like, not
which
even
is
in the
other weird
radar.
Part.
Yeah.
So I want to say this too, because me and Dustin, I love Monster Squad, but I adore Goonies. I would put Goonies on before I'd put this on. Yeah. But that's because I'm not. But
for the music alone, Goonies is better than this.
For Corey Feldman alone.
Man, rock until you drop. No. Rock until your heart. Dude, that's a banger.
But.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
it's time.
It's taken us this long to get.
I haven't seen the Goonies in so long. I'm like, I don't know what this song is.
That's not from Monster Squad.
Oh, okay. Can you just watch that, Nate?
It's their montage song. Yeah.
Yeah. Cyndi Lauper was Goonies. Yeah. That's all right. Well, it's taken us this long to even just get through our history, barely talking about the movie. Let's hit us a horror commercial and we'll come right back. All right.
You're watching the USA Network.
Is this thing on? Oh, hey, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Kev. We're the hosts of Sons and Shadows, a podcast of two regular guys talking about our favorite canceled TV shows and movies.
We're all about having a good time, remembering these shows, and exploding your mind.
Come over and check out Sons and Shadows on all podcatchers or directly at sonsandshadows.com.
Because we're
filthy and fine.
Welcome to Manic Movie Monday, where one person's trash is another person's treasure. Here we celebrate the trash, the treasure, and everything in between.
You know, when women get stressed, we take a bath.
There's a lot to unpack with this movie.
Spoiler alert! Yeah.
Prison is not like reform school, girls, and I really wish somebody would have told me.
We're catfishing serial killers.
We're just trying on clothes without tags and seeing what fits.
Everyone is wearing mail order lingerie.
So join us every other Monday and stay manic.
Just when you thought you were safe, the terror continues with another chilly tale tonight on USA Network's Saturday Nightmares.
I had
been
hoped.
Harping on me to change those for how long now?
Oh, I already forgot.
Oh, that means I can put the old one back on and he won't
probably
that
wouldn't even
order.
Notice.
Right.
Like, oh, huh, weird.
I was hoping you were going to do a commercial for Creepy Crawlers.
You know,
Creepy Crawlers.
Well, I think I've already done one with Creepy
Crawlers.
I think I did it for Sloan.
You might have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I honestly, we've got so many friends now with podcasts. I quit trying to find like commercials to play. So I've just kind of kept it this way.
Well, I feel like this is a part where I could complain that maybe I want some commercials back.
You always complain.
I'm never happy.
Hey, Nate, you can start editing the podcast.
I'm good. I'm busy.
So I'm curious, though, speaking of complaining, I said what my issues were. Nate, you said yours don't even line up with mine. So what is yours?
Take it away, Nate.
God. All right. Now that I'm on the spotlight and I already feel like the heat.
That's what a podcast is. You were supposed to be driving, yet somehow.
Yeah, I didn't want to, though, because I knew what I was getting myself into.
Somehow right. I'm in the back seat driving now, like Andre the Giant. Just
Dracula's driving. It's okay.
My biggest issue, so it's 1987. This is prime 80s at this point. The 80s have a voice when it comes to movies. I don't like the Monster Squad themselves. I don't like any of these kids. Rudy's kind of cool, kind of. But, like, a lot of it was just, I just don't like the kids. And then, like, I love this concept. I think it's such a brilliant idea of kids fighting the Universal Monsters and having Wolfman and Dracula and Frankenstein all team up. I think that is all brilliant. But I don't feel like Dracula is ever, like, fully utilized. Like, I think it's great when they, you know, open up the hatch and he floats. I think that's a great reveal that you have a vampire on the plane. But I just don't think it all ever comes together as well as the idea. So that's my complaint with it. It's just, I think it's a really brilliant idea that just doesn't fully sell me on it.
So I will agree with the whole, the squad itself does have its fault. Yeah. It's missing a Sean Astin. It's missing, which Phoebe is really that, but there's not enough of Phoebe being involved in it.
Yeah, Phoebe is great.
Yeah,
and they shit on her the entire movie. So well, it's yeah, kind of like
when she reveals Frankenstein.
That's what you did to a little sister. You shit on her the entire time.
Mm-hmm. I had a little sister. I was never that bad to her. I mean,
yeah, seriously. He was kind of a jerk, wasn't he?
Yeah, she saved the day. She saved
oh,
the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I know it's the 80s, but I have a really hard time when they have to equate, we need a virgin, and they look at the little girl, and
right.
It's like,
There are a couple little boys there also.
Yeah. I think it had to be a girl. I think it was what it was in the book, and that's why they went for the older sister. But I was just not
now,
that
there
they,
was
I don't
a
think
great
they,
joke with the older sister going.
Yeah, that was
well,
great.
He doesn't count.
He doesn't count.
Steve doesn't count. So I will give it that. But there was just, and I get it. It's a product of a time, and I'm sure it didn't mean anything. But when I'm, especially when I have a daughter, and I'm like, someone's looking. I'm like, I just didn't.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
I also think it's the innocence of Eugene asking. Like, if it were like a grown adult saying, "Oh, that little girl's a virgin,"
you got
that's
it very.
Yeah.
You have a very good point, and I will mm-hmm. accept that explanation right there.
Yeah, but then Eugene called the army.
Hey, he Eugene is the true unsung hero in this
movie. Creature stole my Twinkie.
I was saying that all day today.
Military on you, steal my Twinkie.
Which one of you is Eugene? I was like,
you know, I love that because it's a great gag of like the way that he hand wrote that note and the military showing up. Like, we heard there was monsters.
It's an army man.
He has a skirt penmanship. I think that's
Eugene
what got
is,
their attention.
Eugene's the character that I understand the Little Rascals influence
yep,
more
sure,
than
yep.
anything.
And,
I was
Phoebe.
Like,
and Phoebe.
Oh, and Phoebe, but and I Phoebe. Got like Eugene because he had the dog with him all the time. Because I forget what the kid's name was, but in the Little Rascals, there was the little rascal that was obviously younger
Porky
than all of them.
He was one of them.
Yeah, what? I can't remember his name.
That's Buckwheat, and that's the kid you're talking about. It's the other kid.
The other
kid.
Younger
that's
one.
That's with Buckwheat. Yeah, that's with
Porky.
Buckwheat.
I thought it was Porky.
I can't remember.
But anyway, I feel like that's another fat
got a
kid
pickle.
Joke.
We got a pickle. We got
yeah.
a pickle. Hey, 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 hey.
I got a dollar. I got a dollar.
I got a nickel. I give you a nickel for a pickle.
I just want to bring up real quick the werewolf transformation in the phone booth.
Love it.
Now, man.
So
he
simple.
Calls, he calls
so
that
effective.
Cop. And he's like, hey, Dracula's after your kid. And he goes, oh, no, you're just full of it. And when we get that pan and he's more like in mid morph and he's like, he's going to kill your son, dude. That is so good. On top of again, like I love, in my opinion, Duncan Ragger, the guy that plays Dracula, is my favorite interpretation of Dracula.
He's great.
I can see that. So, he has a more
that.
Menacing.
Paul, my opinion.
I know, but we've discussed this before because I like this Dracula, but to me, he's Christopher Lee. Like, he's doing a lot of what Christopher
he's
Lee
does.
He's
more scary than Christopher Lee is, though.
That's debatable. But it,
he is.
I'm going to have to side with Paul a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
I think I'm Paul on this one.
I don't know, baby.
When you start talking about fear, because there's one thing about this Dracula is I'm never truly scared of him, but I get it that he's powerful, that, you know, obviously he's the leader, he's controlling it.
His, he goes and throws dynamite at this clubhouse.
Oh, I love
but
that.
His walk through the police at the very end to get to Phoebe.
Love it. Love
that's
it.
That's what I want.
Steven Seagal's them, dude.
He does. Four,
right? He,
break arm, break neck.
Yeah.
I love it.
You fall down.
Like I like this Dracula, but this Dracula to me is mob boss Dracula. Like,
I like that.
Okay,
yeah.
I can see that. But what do you think of Phoebe and like that? That's true terror because he did what all thespians do. Yeah, what all thespians do? They stay away from the child actors until like it's a first impression type of thing.
Yeah,
and that's exactly like that first that when he lifts her up, that's the second take. But the first take, like she. The scream was so short and like she literally exhaled so much air she didn't make a sound.
She was so terrified. She was so terrified on the first take.
Yeah,
she had only seen him in like the outfit, but she was terrified of the red eyes and fangs.
Yeah.
So Drecker told her, Dracula, I forget his name. He goes, "We're gonna go through it. You're gonna be in full makeup. She's gonna be on the platform. She won't realize that stuff's on you right now." And when they raise the platform up, which is what makes it look like he's lifting her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is literally her seeing the red eyes and fangs for the first time in her face. And it is the truest terror. That's like the Hans Gruber getting dropped off the building, because the stunt guy goes, "We're going to let you go on three," and they let him go on two over the airbag. So the look on Gruber's face is legit. Like, you weren't supposed to drop me yet. That's the little girl. Like, she was not expecting the demon of Dracula.
So they duplicate that. So Andy Muschietti, or how you pronounce his name, duplicates that in It Part One. So the kids didn't see Bill Skarsgård in the makeup until the refrigerator scene. It was the first scene that they filmed, and so that reaction you see is genuine. It's first take, and yeah, this is so smart. Because especially with a film like that, where you see them in the makeup the rest of the movie, like, but to get a take that you need genuine terror as a group out, that's when you want them all to see them at first.
Right. But nothing's better though than that clip of Bill Hader when he's out there talking to the Skarsgård and he asks him,
God, yes,
about the so do they digitally do that with your eye? And then he does it to him, and Bill like terror and tries to run away. There's a clip online of it, and it's he can actually do that with his eye. That wasn't CG.
He puts one eye on the camera throughout every time he's on screen, at least in part one.
And then Bill was asking him, like, how do they do that? And he just does it, and it's like, I would have ran. I'd have, you know, pissed myself and run off. But
do you think the mullet crow is going to do that? Do you think mullet crow will have like one wonky eye?
He's going to be in the sequel. I think the only thing that, as far as Dracula goes in this movie, that I feel like they missed, I do not like the mid transformation scene of him being like half bat, half human when he's laying there.
When he gets shot.
Yeah. I'm like, this doesn't translate.
Did I see Batween scene?
I really think that was more or less just the show off
Batween
show off prosthetic. They stretch out the.
Feel like it was only because I went. Did I just see? I'm not going to rewind it, but I think there's something ingrained in my head now, and I don't like it.
But at least it wasn't the Abraham Lincoln. So
brain or the goat.
The brain or the goat.
Oh, you mean like the Batwing?
I really think that was more or less to show off, you know, technique and prosthetic.
No, I think like that prosthetic looked great. The prosthetic where Wolfman gets blown up looks great.
That was awesome. Wolfman gets blown up.
That was a chunky scene. Talk about gore in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty gory for a kid's movie.
You want to talk about a small callback, because that's what that is.
It's the second way to kill
what's the second way?
It's
push him out a window onto a bomb. Like that. That's what happens.
But it doesn't kill him, so there's only one way to
to
kill a werewolf. And poor kid's making bullets in shot class. Shot class in the 80s, where you could bring a gun and ammunition to school and no one batted an eye.
Create stakes.
Yeah, sanding them stakes down, man. I gotta, you know.
Yeah, why did I ever make steaks? And did you make steaks in wood shop today, Charlie? The garage is just the wood shop. So
I mean, there's swords. There's
But that's not a steak.
I don't think I need steaks. I mean, I have.
Oh, that's from a guy who's gonna get killed by a vampire. You just let all our vampire listeners know.
I mean, I'll just John Wick 'em with the pile of sharpened pencils I have ready to go. They're like mini steaks.
Just put a steak on top of one of your axes, like Buffy does.
Yeah, see,
and you'll be fine.
I'll just get a shotgun, like Blade. You know, it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. I got this handled. It's not a problem.
I just want to touch a little bit how you were, Nate. You were talking about how you didn't relate to any of these kids and how none of them really appealed to you. I seen a little me when Sean was like talking to his dad about going to the drive-in to watch, you know, Creature Whatever Part 9. And he goes, "Oh, is
Groundhog
that the
Groundhog Day 12?"
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, is that the one where they chopped him up and put it in the blender?" He goes, "That was Part 7.
No, no, no.
Yeah. Dude, that is 100% me. You know? Yeah. So
no, I love that you get that from it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and there's some heavy stuff in here. Like, you're dealing with the parents going to marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. There's, and you know, I get that they're trying to show that, you know, the kid's going through it and maybe he's acting mm-hmm. out a little bit. You know, they don't, the principal at the beginning is just flipping weird as it all gets
spider with human head.
Yeah. I don't know if I see that.
It's not a good spider with human head. It's
you know what I like? I can draw science. That. Science is rad.
Science is rad. I
want to know where you get a Stephen King rules shirt at in the 80s.
In the 80s? He had to make that himself.
Definitely. Yeah,
I know where you can get a shirt that looks very similar to it that may or may not have the Flicks and Friends podcast name on it.
I may or may not.
Really?
Does it say Flicks and Friends rules?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Called it.
Yeah. We all need to make sure that in our montage of getting ready for the monsters, Nate's in charge of getting our business cards ready.
That's I'm cool with that. Job. You're the one that didn't bring the steak, so you're a dead man.
That's it.
Yeah.
I could bring them. I can make them in a few minutes, Nate.
You beer, know, you're just gonna bring beer and
okay.
It's not going to do us any good, but we're going to have a good time.
And panties.
Yeah, and panties. Used panties.
It's got to be used.
Give it Charlie PTSD.
I don't like this at all.
Well, what about you, Pete? Like, is there any of the characters that you've like related to or latched onto over these years?
This is the best creature. I love the Creature of the Black Lagoon. It's been one of my favorite Universal monsters since I was a very little kid. It's sad that they haven't explored this creature more.
Agreed.
It really hurts. Now, Shape of Water, chef's kiss. What a fantastic
film. So the guy that dressed up, wore the mummy costume, is this right, Dustin? He wore the mummy costume. It went on to do
the prosthetics, the special effects.
He created the amphibious man.
And if I'm right, I think the guy in the Gillman costume was one of the special effects guys working for Stan Winston and begged just for the shot to play. And because I think something happened, he knew someone else and they just started making the suit based off his life cast. So it was like, he has to do it now anyway, because that suit's not going to fit anyone else. You ain't getting Arnold in that, you know, Gillman outfit. It would have worked perfectly. Gillman stole my Twinkie.
Put my wife's Twinkie down.
On top of my love for the Gillman, I cannot be more angry with the way he was dispatched. Shotgun to the chest.
But also, I was like, is he really immortal?
He's just a creature. So
he's out of water. Yeah,
exactly.
He's a wolf. He's a dog. He's a hawk. He's a living, breathing creature. He doesn't have any.
What are the rules with the creature? You know,
there are no rules.
Because he lifts Frank up out of the water. Yeah, like, he's lifting that. Strong. So he's strong. But I don't think he's
crushed one of those cops' heads.
Yeah, you could be strong, but not be bulletproof.
He's not bulletproof. Yeah.
That was just a shotgun, like point blank range, though.
It made me mad. But you gotta kill him some way, I guess. But that was such a beautiful, beautiful costume. I love like the werewolf's costuming looked a lot like Oliver Reed's in the only Hammer werewolf movie.
Curse. Well, he had to wear pants
of the werewolf. I think
can't have a wolf Oliver man Reed's dork running around. Up
one and only. Well, Oliver Reed, a famous drunk, and he was trouble on this set of that movie. Let's talk about that movie another time.
Those are machine guns, because that's really what's
there
missing
are no
with
machine
this
guns.
It's
in this
funny the Wolfman's face is the only thing I don't really like about him,
right?
Because they couldn't emulate the Universal Pictures because it's very wolf-like. So they had to go more.
He has
human
a very
features.
Bat-like.
He's got a flat face, and that is one of my problems with that. I would prefer like a wolfy snout, but that's a lot. That flat face is very much what Hammer used to do. Exactly. Werewolf of London? Was Werewolf of London a really flat face too? That was before.
No. He had a wolf snout, yeah.
He had the...
Werewolf of London had a full wolf snout?
Yeah.
Like 1930s? That was one of the things that you saw.
Rick Baker like won, like that was like the first award he won, right?
No. Not American Werewolf in London. Werewolf of London. 1930.
Warren Zevon 1931. Song? I don't understand. Mark.
It was before.
Well, that's, if you're talking about flat faces, Wolfman, like Wolfman
had
that's
a smaller
like
face.
Lon Chaney had a flat face.
Flat face, but it was very human face. Where this was a flat dog face, but I thought that Werewolf of London also had sort of that flat dog face, but I can't quite remember. Someone's going
to
yell at me.
There was, to go back a little bit, on the American Werewolf in London.
Not American. I'm not saying American.
Stop
Werewolf.
It. I'm not talking about that. Give me a second to finish my thought.
Yeah, Pete's like, someone's going to yell at me for a 1935 movie that only I have heard of.
I was
We're
saying,
about
though,
Monsters,
on
God,
your point, though, Pete, is in American Werewolf in London, I have the figure, the Nazi ones have flat faces as well in that movie. You're welcome, Pete, before you jump down my throat.
So the 1935 one is just a human face, basically. So that is one of the designs I'm not huge on, is the werewolf face, mm-hmm. facial design. They couldn't decide whether, like, they like, we're not flat face, but we're not going to give it a full snout. We're going to do something in the middle.
So
and it,
we're
it,
pug.
So. That leads me to a question I have is, do you think that's part of why this movie flopped, that people went and saw it and went, these don't even look like the Universal monsters that
Dracula,
one monster does not make all of the monsters good. Though I'm saying is because this movie flopped. But do you think there was some people that went in there that loved the Universal monster movies and watched it and went, well, this is shit. They don't.
I think
they're not
this
even
is just
close.
A case of ahead of its time. This would have been made
didn't
now,
Lost Boys come out a few weeks before this one landed.
Two weekends before.
That's tough to.
That also
and that's
help.
The same target audience. Also, it's the same target audience.
Yeah.
They
also make a point on the Wolfman's Got Nards that if this movie was shelved for about a year, it would have had a tagline of from the writer of Lethal Weapon on it.
Yeah,
that would have helped
sure
it a
would.
Lot more
big
than
time.
Anything. So I have zero problems with how the Wolfman looks because I like that he is his own character at that point because not all Wolfmen look the same.
Oh,
and
no.
That's what I really dig. And I really like the Hammer look of him. Like he still looks like a beast, you know, like he's monstrous.
The Paul Naschy stuff.
Yeah.
Versus the Oliver Reed versus the Lon Chaney
stuff.
We're
not species. We don't think they all look the same. That's just it's just wrong.
Are you
Pete.
Are you calling me a monster racist?
A monster
is that what you're calling me?
As a racist.
Now
when
we're
say
racist.
Now when we say monster racist, do we mean large racist or racist of monsters?
If the harness fits, Pete.
Do you think this movie like exists within the Goonies universe though? Because
that would be awesome.
What's her name? Is it Mary Ellen Trainer?
The same
Mary
mom.
Yeah.
Trainor?
She's the mom.
She's the mom in both.
They lost the house by the lighthouse. And I'm so sorry.
That's her.
Dude, I've gone like an hour 15. I've done real good.
You're doing great.
They lost the house by the lighthouse, and she ended up divorcing the dad and starting this other family.
Yeah, you know, she's a psychiatrist. She's a psychiatrist for the police department too, because that's her role in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, I have zero problem. Like, I really like that they didn't decide to make the mummy kind of hulking. Like, they made him decrepit.
Oh, I love the mummy's look.
Yeah, I think mummy is dead on. No pun intended. But
yeah. I see what you did but there.
But no, all in all, the monsters to me, I still see the monsters. Like, I get the reference, but I also understand they're their own individual characters, and right. I appreciate that a lot more. And Gilman is probably top five movie monsters of all time.
All time.
I think he's up there. I really think he's up there.
It's beautiful, beautiful. I'm like Pete. Creature is my favorite Universal monster. So, honestly, this one looks better. It looks better. It's just the fact that it's one solid cast piece. So there's not these zippers and individual pieces that you can pick apart and look at. It looks like a freaking Gilman.
It looks like a creature stole my Twinkie. That's exactly what it looks like.
Exactly.
You know?
I feel like he's the unproportions like of his head and his hands and his feet, opposed to the creature is he looks like a human wearing a mask.
Especially where the neck is.
Like it's very animalistic, which I really dig.
Yeah, it looks like a true creature that could exist. But I also I don't want to. I mean, we love all these other ones, but we cannot shadow Tom Noonan as Frankenstein's monster.
Man, he was hulking creature. That shot when he first meets Phoebe. I mean, it's straight from the original movie.
You're waiting for her to be wading out in the water because she's doing the daisies with the flowers, like the original movie.
Oh gosh, no! Don't kill the girl.
I honestly think Frankenstein was my first monster movie I ever watched.
Pete,
you're gonna love this.
I love it. I already
We rented it from the library when we could rent VHSs. And it was the black and white. Is it even an hour long? I don't think so.
It's like 48 minutes long.
Yeah, it's not quite an hour long. But man, I have vivid memories of I remember as a kid getting that tension in my chest during that scene.
It's such a striking movie.
It's very much is. And the way they play it in this one. But then Noonan is able to actually bring some humanity into this character without they make him say bogus and stuff. That's fine. I honestly love all of that.
It's the 80s.
I love that he's like the redemption type character in here. He turns on Dracula. He's one of the kids. It's Star Wars all over again with Vader picking up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great.
Everyone's reaction to that, and it just pans behind him. Dead to rights. Frank just behind. Oh my god,
you guys are dead to rights, and he's about to tear this little girl's neck apart, and then something grabs him from behind and stops Dracula.
And it has to be it's powerful because Dracula's strong.
Dracula, just double bird his way through an army, like whatever, just Seagal himself.
That image in my brain just popped in, all of us are flipping double birds everywhere.
But I see what you're saying though, when he brings the humanity, because you see that once he picks up the mask of himself.
Yes,
that's heartbreaking. That's a heartbreaking scene.
That was a jerk move by those kids. To piggyback on Nate, these kids are kind of jerks.
They are.
They are. They're shitheads.
Except Eugene. Eugene's not a jerk. And the other kids.
Who's the famous mask man? Bob. Please continue. Move on.
Michael Myers?
No, I think he's talking about who made those
masks.
Masks.
Clark, I know what you mean. Yeah. The
Bob Davis.
But when he picks up that mask and he like, they're like, yeah, that's you. And he's like, it's hideous. It's ugly. You know, like that's where you start seeing Frank's like.
You just hurt a hulking creature's feelings, you dummy.
He's also the other one that makes us feel like it's wrong to take pictures of the girl next door, because when that camera goes off, he's like, bogus! Bogus! Yeah. Even he knew that was wrong.
Even Frank
kids.
Knew that was wrong.
Well, mate, you wouldn't happen to live next door, would you? Yeah, so what?
That's my sister. What? Why are they all trying to get the picture, though? That's my question, because even he's trying to get... It was his sister. He's one of the kids jumping up and down trying to grab the picture out of his hands. Mm. See, there's some weird things.
But that's
in
an
this 80s movie.
Thing, too, because, like, in. Not Night of the Demons. Yeah, Night of the Demons. That's the one with the. Right when they go to the lipstick scene? Yeah, but that's the thing. Is like the brother pops out of the closet and goes, "Nice boobs, sis." And like runs out of the room.
Yeah, but he was a degenerate though already.
But I'm
he
saying
was...
that's almost like a trope that they tried to do. You know, like there
I mean,
other
I guess
that do that.
There's other ones that did it, and they're always taking you know looking through the telescope at the girl next door.
Yeah,
I get it. It was just I always laugh that when Frank does it, he gets bogus.
And, you know, Frank holds it up here and like gets a good look.
He
at
is
it.
Looking at it through the sunglasses.
Yeah, and no one else can get to
so,
it.
Pete, were you trying to think of Pete? Were you trying to think of Jack Pierce?
Is it Jack Pierce? God, yeah. I thought it was Bob.
So Jack Pierce created a lot of that. Like, I think he was creature. He did the creature. He did. I know he did Frankenstein.
Or,
well, no, there's
you're talking about the Halloween mask.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Halloween
I'm not sure.
Masks in a cardboard box with a
They were the blown plastic is what it was called. It was,
I thought it was Bob Clark or something. This is the cheap stuff you buy. Bob Clark. That's not right. That's not
Dick
right.
Clark. I think it was Dick Clark. Dick, I think Dick Clark created Clark. It. Yeah, it was
Final Frontier 9.
Rockin' New Year's. Is that what it was?
Chris Sandler.
Yeah, no, it was made by Dick Rodriguez. Come on now.
Beer.
I like when we make fun of Pete for having the brain scramblies because then he just gets more brain scramblies.
But yeah, back to the whole Frankenstein of it all. Frankenstein and Phoebe's relationship is the heart of this movie.
Oh, it's perfect.
And I could literally watch an hour and a half of them being the main characters of a film. And honestly, they should have had been more front and center instead of these a-hole dudes that were kind of.
I feel like if they remade the movie today, like that's what we'd get. Even
the actor who played the main character said if they remade this film today, Phoebe would be the main character.
Yeah.
Because what a brilliant idea.
It's the character I want to follow. Yeah. Exactly.
So she was prevalent in Wolfman's Got Nards.
Yes.
And is that where, so I just got a beer.
Pete,
so
it's
I might be a little behind.
Ben Cooper was the creator of the masks.
Samsonite.
Ben Clark.
Ben Cooper.
Ben Cooper is Bob Clark. Ben Cooper.
You had the initials right.
Chris Sandler. Chris Sandler heard that.
He said Samsonite. It's right here on the briefcase.
Ben Cooper is
right.
We were way off.
I suck at this podcasting thing. I love... So you... You guys, Dustin, Paul, you saw Wolfman Got Nards. Phoebe, just her enthusiasm through the whole documentary just made my heart sing. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea what she's done since this film, but a movie centric around her would be just delightful.
Or that character in general. She could come back as the mom. It'd be cool.
Right.
That's the other thing. Like, you could do a reboot sequel of sorts where it's just
easily
have the kids all grown up and then the next wave of monsters attack.
I was going to say something. Now I'm getting the brain scramblies. I need to get a beer.
I did.
I was going to say something about the whole Phoebe of it all. Anybody else? Y'all carry on. I'll come back.
Well, I was going to say, I was looking up some, looks like Phoebe's done some like bit parts in sitcoms. She has done, she's actually supposed, I don't know why it says 5 minutes, but something called All Jumbled Up in 2023, Mrs. Jones. But I was going to say, you guys have kind of led right into Pete's impromptu homework.
Yes.
That he wants to know.
I'm not sure we've had more last minute homework than this last minute.
That was pretty last minute.
That
like,
was the definition of last minute.
As I'm sending the invites. Yeah. So Pete, you want to tell everybody what the homework is?
I was pooping the dogs and thought, hey, how cool.
Hey, now.
Hey, how cool would it be to have a sequel of this movie? Wait, but what monsters would they do? Because these monsters have all been banished to the Phantom Zone or something, right?
Well, yeah, they're in the void.
They've been killed, yeah, just about.
They haven't been right. killed. Van Helsing was still alive and right. giving people right. thumbs up.
Yeah, I feel Wolf, like Wolf no matter
dead,
what.
Gilman's they're, dead, Mummy's dead.
They've been tossed in an alternate dimension. So
Frank and Dracula are the only ones who survived, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If Decker would ever make a sequel, what are your monsters that you would like to see in this movie? In the sequel.
Are we each picking one so we have a team of five like the movie?
But I've got two, but
No.
Mine's a package deal though.
Well, let's go with Nate and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like Dustin's idea, but mine is a package deal. Mm-hmm. You get Mike and Sully.
From Monsters, Inc.
Okay. All right.
Put the thing back where you got it from, or so help me.
We are still keeping it kid friendly, so we can't get Freddy and Jason in these things. So okay.
Nope, but you can get Mike and Sully.
All right. Yeah, Mike and Sully. All right. Okay. Now I'm thrown off. That's not what I was expecting. Now I know Dustin at the beginning. Dustin, you have dreamed of this. You know exactly what you want. So are you going to do five or is it 1, 2, 3, 4?
No. Five. I'll name two and you guys pick the better one. How about that?
All right.
All right. So my favorite Universal monster is one that is hardly ever looked upon because you can never see him. And that is the Invisible Man.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And okay. I think that would be awesome to have that aspect.
I like
of the movie.
That.
That's or old ancestor.
Well, old ancestor is the winner. Clearly, I would love to see old ancestor come back.
I also had Mama Fratelli written down, but
I think Mama Fratelli is in the Universal Monster universe.
I'm gonna go with the Invisible Man because I just like the idea of you. Who knows? Who knows if he's there or not? You know, that's terrifying. So, Invisible Man.
All right. Hey, Paul, what do you think, bud?
So I had two in my head. One of them was the Invisible Man. So I think I stayed more true to what the teacher assigned than some people. But
did I not?
No. I was talking about somebody who showed up. So I don't know where he is in the box because I'm over to the side. So I'm just going to say over here somewhere. I like the original Phantom, the Phantom of the Opera. I love the disfigured design. I think he could play the heart role of this movie because of he just wants to belong. I was thinking either him or a Quasimodo type character, something one of those two would be. I think if you're not going to bring Frank back, you need that type of character, and I think either one of those could fit that role.
I like both of these ideas a lot already.
What do you think, Charlie? Do you have
I do, and I'm glad Paul went back to what the core of what I thought we were doing here, because I've always had one in my mind because this was one of the other like kid friendly books I used to get out of the library when I was in school that was based off of like the classic
Crest House,
monster movies
Orange.
And stuff. They're really easy to read. Mm-hmm. I was going with the mole people, at least one or two of the mole people.
Oh, they could be your creature.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that could be your.
And
your,
you can even play with it. Yeah, like there's multiple of them. So everybody else picked multiples.
Oh, great.
I get a civilization of mole people because that whole process, I love something. It's something about the mole people idea.
I just picture the mole man from The Simpsons.
It's though. Not mole man from No, these guys are actually kind of freaky looking, especially for a black and white movie.
The mole people is John Agar is in it. Nate, if you know who that is, Alfred from Batman 66. He's one of the high priests in this one. In the mole people,
Alan Napier.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
I don't recognize this one at all.
Take into context when it came out in the early 50s, I think, and the mole people is a. I know it's been lampooned.
Looks like a blast.
Yeah, it's like good. It's a civilization of them. It's not like just one creature. There's a bunch of them.
There's,
but well,
there's
always
there's like a high civilization. There's high elves and low elves. So there's like,
right, and these are like the lower tier of it. It's one of those mole, like we're talking about how underrated like the creature is and stuff. It's like no one does the mole people. Like, why has that not been optioned?
He would be a perfect creature replacement. They would, absolutely.
That's what, exactly what I was thinking.
I've never seen this. I've
henchmen
seen this.
Of some sort. Yeah. Oh no.
I absolutely recommend it.
Well, well done, Charlie.
I would check this book out constantly and just read it and read it and read it. That and the spider one, from about that same era. That was in
the
those
bugs,
books.
Like Tarantula and Them.
Yeah,
and,
I think it was Tarantula. Was
Earth versus a Spider. And
they had like, I think we had like five or six of the books. No, this was at the library. Oh, I wish
so sad. Yep.
I could have got a hold of
I had Godzilla at my local library, and that's like a $300.
Oh, easily. I bet if I looked them up, an original one of these is probably $100 easy.
Most of them aren't so bad. But that Godzilla one,
he's the one that took off. You know, it's like, nobody's making the Mole Man verse. We're getting the monster verse with Godzilla.
Mad scientists. Yeah.
All right, Pete. Well, this is your homework. Who are you picking?
So we need a leader for this team of Sullies and Mole Peoples. I don't know about the Sully thing, dude.
Sully fits, all right.
I don't know about that. I'm going super obscure. I'm going Vincent Price and Dr. Phibes. Dr. Phibe is a... There's at least two movies. It might be three, but I think it's two for sure. Where he's a mad scientist torturing people and... I will eat my hat if Saw didn't take some of these torture devices out of this movie.
The Abominable Dr. Phibes.
The Abominable Dr.
Phibes Rises Again. Dr. Phibes and the Gentleman. Wait,
so
Dr. Phibes and the Gentleman is 2013. What is that?
That's not Vincent Price.
Oh, that's totally.
You don't think so?
Yeah, it could be the corpse of Vincent Price. Yeah,
you don't. Hold on, Pete.
Yeah, like hold on. One thing.
Hold on. So we're 100% positive that a film that came out in 2013 did not star Vincent Price.
It could have.
Let me check my math here. Hang on.
That'll be Wikipedia that real quick.
There's one person that could make a movie in death.
But Dr. Phibes, if you haven't seen these movies, they're kind of funny because Vincent Price is hamming it up, but I think he's a grand leader that would take over for Dracula. He would have a scheme to bring all these monsters together and to a common goal, whatever it is, to steal the Shankara stones or to kill the Virgin or whatever it might be. Hopefully not kill the Virgin because it's a kid's movie. So they're stealing Shankara stones or something. I don't know.
They killed the Virgin at the beginning of this movie.
They did.
She goes into the Phantom Zone. She goes. So if she didn't pop back out.
I think she got hit in the head by a brick. Or a Buick from whenever they did it the rest of the way.
She was wrestling one of those skeletons.
Or Dr. Phibes is trying to open up the Phantom Zone and
I'm reading
to get Dracula back out.
Yeah,
I'm reading a plot summary and it says doctors are being murdered in bizarre manners. Bats, bees, a killer frog mask, which represent the 9 biblical plagues of Egypt. The crimes are orchestrated by an organ playing demented madman. From his home base, replete with a clockwork orchestra and help from a beautiful mute assistant.
This sounds like a Pete movie.
This is like everything. Yeah. They took everything, shook it up, and put it on Vincent Price.
Yes.
I'd watch it.
Can I pick the scary German guy?
You want to pick? We need a new scary German guy?
Someone who gives
them exposition.
Just one answer for this.
You have to be scary. He had to be a scary Russian guy.
I think they would get someone who doesn't I don't want to go with German, though. I want to go with Jekyll and Hyde.
No. There's only one person that can play our German.
One person. Yeah.
Nate knows who exactly we're talking about right here. We are talking about the one, the only Christoph Waltz.
Yeah. Okay. That's the obvious answer.
Our German that comes to help us. Come
whatever
on.
You were going to say, Dustin's wrong, because Charlie and I picked the right one.
Because we might be wrong about this movie in particular, but we are not wrong about Christoph Waltz, sir.
Is Christoph Waltz going to be the good guy, though? Is he going to be
he's the one that, like,
German to help
us? I don't
want to be that guy. I dig that a lot. Christoph Waltz is Austrian.
Yeah, but he plays a hell of a German.
They speak German.
What I'm saying is you can find out that he is like a descendant of the Van Helsing. So that whole tie-in.
I was really surprised that our German old fella wasn't a descendant of Van Helsing.
He was a Jewish German, and they really hit you over the head with that, don't they, in a kid's movie?
If you aren't paying attention... Whack! It is.
It is. I will say, is probably one of my favorite lines in the movie. That's a good line too. But where he goes, where the kids go, man, you know a lot about monsters, and he goes, I guess I do. Closes the door, you see the tattoo, and I'm like, boy, that went over so many kids' heads. But as an adult, you're watching this going, That's a heavy line.
Well, they have menorahs in the background too, so you know he's a
He's Jew.
It's not in your face until that moment. Once you've watched this multiple times, you're like, I get it. But that time it clicks with you that you're like, he does know he knows worse monsters than Dracula, let's be honest. But it has a really heavy moment.
Dracula wants to kill everybody. Nazis want to kill
He doesn't discriminate. No, death he's for you. Just like, death everybody. For you. We don't care.
Where's Indiana Jones to punch these Nazis?
Punch these Nazi vampires.
It stops thanks, at Last guys. Crusade.
I think that was a very successful homework.
That was a lot of fun. All right. Well, I think it's time we jump into the thing.
We can all go watch Dr. Fibes. I'm telling you.
I might actually watch this after I watch Mole Man. I want to watch the Mole Man.
Oh, Mole Man.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
I'm telling you, Mole Man's great.
Well, it's time to do things, boys. So let's do some Rain and Blood.
We're talking about my movies, like the weird stuff that I love.
Yeah, something you could have played in February.
Yeah, I know. He's always like, nope, I don't want to pick things I love in February.
I don't know, but now you guys got... Now you guys got future cops to look forward to.
I don't think I can do that because these guys already know about future
cops. I haven't seen it, though.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
It's good.
Right. All right. A Raining Blood for a kids movie in the 80s. 28 people die in this movie.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It's... Between Dracula and the creature in the last stand there, they're just mowing down cops.
And there are people that die at the
beginning,
too. So add, even if you don't count the vortex, you know, potentially killing or not killing them. But yeah, there's quite a body count. The partner gets exploded in the cop car by Dracula.
Shocking as it was when Batman stuck a stick of dynamite down a clown.
Oh yeah, and returns.
And we all went, Batman killed somebody.
Batman killed that dude
straight up murdered him.
Although I gotta say though, I am totally fine that he killed that guy because that partner is the absolute most annoying character in this movie.
Terrible.
I can't, like, there's no one can, like, oh no, he's very he's not charming. He's not quaint. He was annoying and I hated him. And he needed to go. All right, well, out of 28, and I think for Kill of the Week, you can pick monsters, you can pick whatever, you can pick what your favorite kill is.
What do you think? Zombie Kill of the Week?
All right, do we start with our guests or make them wait?
Guess.
Make them wait. Doesn't want to go first.
Yeah.
Nate goes first.
Okay.
Nate goes first.
I wasn't prepared.
I was prepared to start this podcast, you jerk.
Oh, I'm like trying to think.
How the tides have turned.
I'm going to pick the wolf, man. I mean, he dies twice, so you get a double tap.
Three times.
Yeah, you're right. So that's mine. That's the one I'm going with.
All right. Paul.
Yeah, so mine was is Wolfman's Death Number Two. The whole coming of fruition of how's the second way to kill a Wolfman. It just pays off a joke, pays off a line, and it's a pretty rad quote unquote death. But yeah, so yeah, that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, fair. Dustin.
I'm gonna have to go with the partner, man, because that's the first time the adults realize the danger they're in. Because yeah. He throws that stick of dynamite at the car, and that car just like the partner has zero time to get out, and he got.
He got hard.
He got got.
Yeah.
He got hard. Pete.
I'm gonna go with a killer, not a killee, or killed. Killed. Rudy, as a 12, 13 year old boy. Murders a bride of Frankenstein and Dracula. Then
Dracula.
Oh, yeah, Dracula.
Pete's gonna Pete.
He killed two monsters. What the hell? What did he? Okay, I'm gonna go.
Do.
Werewolf Number Two was the best.
I'm not editing any of that. All stays.
No, Rudy killed. He killed a bride of Dracula, and uh-huh. then he murdered somebody else.
He killed the mummy too.
The mummy. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, he's got two. This
he
this
kills
young
two
man.
Brides of Dracula.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's got
the third one we never know what happened to.
He's slaughtering people left and right as a 12-year-old boy and like, whoa, yeah, you might want to put this guy on a list. Don't put me on a list for HK.
He smokes cigarettes, Pete. He's already on the
list. Yeah,
he's
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He rides a
he's
bike.
A smoking cigarettes he's a loner.
He's also a voyeur.
He makes bullies yeah, eat Snickers off the ground.
Wait, no, he's not a voyeur. Yeah. He's a voyee. Yeah, no, man. Wait, he's a voyeur. Yeah, you're
the
right.
The voyeur watches. The voyee is the one.
Yeah. Maybe yeah, he's
Pete,
both.
I don't know. What? Now we're definitely on a list.
Dang it!
we were this close.
Charlie, you ready? We're this close.
I'm siding with Dustin, man. It's when the partner gets blown up in the car because Dracula just Dracula's packing dynamite. He blows up a hole in the house. He carries dynamite with him where he needs. Dude. And he just tosses into the treehouse. Boom!
Meeting adjourned.
And then he tosses it under the car. So I was like, there's Shane Black. There's the Shane Black I love. There he is, finally. But yeah, no, I'm giving it to him. Although I will say the coldest kill is the guy that gets his neck broke by Dracula as Dracula's just walking along and he's just crack and keeps going.
It's like that Suicide Squad scene where they're just going through that village and just
who can do the best kill,
but they're just staring at each other the whole time, not paying attention to their kills.
I just 100% see Steven Seagal just doing
I really need everyone to stop saying his name. I just really need this to stop.
He's got PTSD.
Before we finish, too, I do want to give a shout out, RIP, to the actor who played Horace. So sad story.
When I heard that on the
what happened?
He had asthma trouble with breathing.
Pneumonia in the hospital.
And he was in the hospital, and he had an adverse effect to some medication, and while he was there, and it's just one of those things that shows you like this movie was disappeared for so long that no one had any clue that he had passed away, and all this happened before the re-release and all that stuff. So
damn.
Like,
yeah,
it's heartbreaking, and it was so I didn't want to feel the feels when I was watching this documentary, and
oh, it gets you, dude. It gets you.
I turned around and felt the felts, and damn.
They talk about it in the DVD you have, Nate. Like, there's a documentary on that DVD that's really good.
Oh, really?
They talk about him in that, yeah.
Yeah, highly recommend Wolfman Gutnard's to you guys. I also want to shout out
Horace for thinking about the garlic that's on his cheese pizza that's in his pocket. And who doesn't have pocket pizza?
Gotta have
it's
that
been a while since I've had pocket pizza.
Hey,
but
The sign doesn't say all you can eat here.
Right. What we're doing, 7 degrees of separation. So Horace had pocket pizza, right? And Napoleon had pocket tots. And Uncle Rico is in Napoleon, and he's also in this movie.
Blows my mind. That's Uncle Rico.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, boys, let's rate this bad boy.
Please. Guys, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back.
Woo! All right. I've made Dustin wait a long time, so I'm going to actually let him start this off. Dustin,
yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10 machetes, you can do halves. What are you giving the Monster Squad?
Who's going to give it a half?
I mean, yeah. You can do like 9.5.
Oh, yeah. So this is one of, I think, like 5 movies on my Letterboxd that has a 5-star rating.
Mm.
I will never not recommend this movie. So this movie absolutely is 10 machetes.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nicely done.
It's Paul? Been my top 3 favorite movies of all time.
He's still going. That's forever. How excited he is.
I'm done.
He's allowed. Let the man go. Let him cook.
I've been waiting for him to have all his Monster Squad DVDs on like a necklace, and he wears it like
Mr. T. Oh, you totally need.
Because when he thinks no one's paying attention, he just holds them up for everybody to see. He's like, yeah, check out my boy.
He said, these are my babies.
All right, now.
Do you watch all 3 at the same time?
Ooh, there you go. That's it. He's trying to find all the inaccuracies. Paul, what about you, brother?
So I do give out my 5 stars a little more willy-nilly on Letterboxd, but it's because the scale is smaller. So, but if I were going all the way to 10, means I could be a little more precise. I probably, this is a 9 machetes for me. It does have some flaws, but this movie gives me all kind of great nostalgic feels, and it's a ton of fun. This is more of a seasonal movie for me. I need to watch it around Halloween usually. The other 11 months of the year I'll watch Goonies, but this movie is a classic, and I love this movie. I love that my kids love this movie. But yeah, 9 machetes.
Well, Dustin's shaking his head at the Halloween comment. He goes, Easter's just around the corner. Can't wait to watch Monster Squad for Easter.
All I'm saying is you twisted my arm to rewatch this movie.
Critters 2 is for Easter.
Yeah,
Critters 2, there you go.
There you go. Let's see. Pete, what are you rating Monster Squad?
This is a wonderful movie. 9 machetes. 9 machetes. I'm done. That's it.
Okay. Fair.
I don't need to justify this. 9!
This is none just, no justification required.
9!
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait.
No. The number 9.
Does that mean
Pete is the scary German guy?
Yes, Pete is the scary German guy.
It is.
Would you like some pie? I have had your wife's pie. It's delicious.
Whoa. This is a kid's podcast.
His wife's pie, though.
We're talking about pie. That's what we're talking about.
Have sampled my wife's pie in my
kitchen.
Was
delicious. My wife watched me eat his wife's pie.
It was great.
All right.
I was there. I was a voyeur.
With my hands.
a pie voyeur.
Well, I did, and it was eat pie with them. So, Nate, come on, bud. It's down to me and you.
Man, I don't like this. Why do we do it this way?
I don't know, but I'm making you go first because you refuse to drive. So,
save the worst for last.
I pass out a ton of 5-star reviews on Letterboxd. I'm like, I like movie. 5 stars. This, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. Yeah. Like,
wow. Above average. It's okay.
Yeah, it's, you know.
That's barely a recommendation.
Oh, like, watch it. That's what a 6 is. Like, I'll watch this again at some point. It might be another 8-10 years. I don't know. But it's I own it. I'm not getting rid of it. I will watch the documentary because I'm very psyched to see that. I think I miss this one. And that's kind of the problem. And I've already said my issues. Now, if they remake it, what they'll do is they'll do a phase 1 where we get introduced with every single Monster Squad character separately in a movie. Then we'll get the bad guys movies. So we'll get like a Dracula movie, and then maybe we'll get a Dracula and Frankenstein team up movie. No, they'll get a 6-episode series on Netflix, probably, if I had to guess.
Buddy cop show. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
He's building the MSU, the Monster Squad universe.
Then the creature, he'll get a movie, but like Bride of Frankenstein, really. She will get a a TV show as well. And that's all going to come together to eventually get the Monster Squad reboot.
Dude,
so
was it Universal tried to do that with all these movies, right?
I think yeah, they're still they technically keep trying. Doing it
terribly.
You shut your mouth. That's it.
The Mummy was awful, but Invisible Man, I really enjoyed.
Invisible Man's great.
Yes.
Because that it didn't try Universal. To tie into everything.
Yeah.
That wasn't Universal. Universal wasn't doing that one.
Oh, okay. Yes, Blumhouse, right? It was Blumhouse.
It was Blumhouse. Yep.
Yeah.
But it was still.
Dracula Untold wasn't awful.
I didn't watch it.
But that wasn't a part of the. That wasn't part of the.
That was what was kicking it off.
Yeah, that was what kicked it off.
Tried to, and then they went.
I thought Mummy kicked it off.
Maybe we won't do this.
Yeah, Mummy was the second attempt.
With stupid Tom Cruise.
The Dracula one was. We're doing the Dracula movie, and quietly they were like, this is supposed to start a multiverse. Mm-hmm, the Mummy was, hey, we're doing the
multiverse.
Because
this has got Dr. Jekyll. Yeah.
Well, I had Tom Cruise. So that's what
Crowe, Tom Cruise, and a. Garbage story.
All right. So do we have
Charlie?
Oh,
what's
wait.
Yours? You gotta go. Don't leave me. Like, I like it. Actually, I just want to like it more.
I'm totally happy you went first because I was already feeling bad, but I was like at a 7.5. So you are now the way low one.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad saying 7.5.
Nate sucks.
I might be wrong from time to time.
I am in that. I think this is absolutely a perfect gateway horror movie for children. The problem is now we're running out of kids that actually care about this type of stuff. This definitely is an 80s movie. I get it. I totally follow it. It's a product of its time. It's definitely one that I will probably wait longer, like a year or two, and then be like, oh, I haven't watched Monster Squad in a really long time, and Dustin won't stop messaging me about when I watched it last. So
and then he keeps messaging me to message you to message me.
So,
hey, Nate, did Charlie watch Monster Squad today?
Exactly. I don't know. Hey, he was in the shop, so he might have.
Maybe. I don't even own this movie. I missed out on the desire to even buy it because it was gone for so long. Not saying I wouldn't. So if I got like a really cool release of it, or you know, some 4K or something like that that I find, I'd probably buy it. But yeah, 7.5. It's definitely a good movie. I recommend
it. 7.5 is way better than 6.
It definitely is. It's 1.5 better.
I think Nate was, because he was talking about Letterboxd, which goes to 5 stars. He was saying he was giving it 6 stars.
Final tapping it.
Yeah, this review goes to 6.
I'm pretty sure 6 is lower than your rating for Leprechaun in Space.
No, that was I gave it like a 3.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, I think you two gave it way higher than
I
did.
No, so. Pete gave it super high. I might have given it a 3.5. And that's the thing. I do wonder, like, watching this with you guys, I probably would have had more fun with it too. Just because of your guys' exactly. And I would have enjoyed that. Like, your guys' love for it probably would have rubbed off on me a little bit, you know, like
rub that love all over you.
Rub it on me, please.
Between us rubbing off on you and Charlie eating Pete's wife's pie, I don't know what's.
Oh my God. We're riding that PG-13 line just right, boys.
Editing this one.
All right.
I meant to ask y'all this earlier. Do you guys know any virgins?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I
here
have a
is
nephew
it.
That I hope is yes.
Does it grow back?
Nate doesn't count.
Oh, you mean I have nieces that are also over? Yes.
Pete, come on. Here, you had to make
it was more rhetorical.
You weren't supposed to answer it. That's just as weird as the Phoebe thing. God.
Okay, cut all that out.
No. You get to live in that, Pete.
Yeah.
You just made
it, Sean.
It's just
Pete's got to get off early to go register.
I'm already registered.
Now I need to go grab that Chris Jericho soundbite. You just made the list. That's going to be my new drop that I put on things.
That's good.
Nate, do you have a trash opinion that's not yours on this?
We do.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring. And then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
All right. So this one comes from I Wanna Toupee back in April of 2022.
I don't.
Who gave this 2 out of 10 and said, overrated movie full of annoying kids. Just started watching Monster Squad for the first time, and no wonder it was a flop when it was released. This movie is lame, full of annoying kid actors with big mouths. The monsters look good, but they are wasted among a dire script and those annoying kids. I gave the movie 2 out of 10 based on the fact they tried with the monsters, but everything else falls flat. Sorry, I quit the movie 45 minutes in, but I laugh at all those 50-year-olds who still think this movie is great. I couldn't find one rant review on YouTube of this dross. Nobody wants to be seen not to like it. The Emperor's New Clothes.
Huh.
What the Emperor?
I don't know what that part meant.
Does he have a tagline that we don't understand?
Maybe.
Do I need to read all his other reviews to understand?
Backstory.
Yeah, where's this guy has an evil villain backstory.
Yeah,
I
want a toupee.
Emperor's New Clothes. Mic drop.
The movie off 45 minutes in, you can't form an opinion on this.
Exactly.
I agree.
You can't, no opinion if you turn the movie off, you know, we... Yeah,
Sean. Unless it's HK, and I wasn't allowed to turn the movie off at 45 yeah. minutes.
Unless it was so. The Crow.
I'll stop.
No, that's the New Crow you're talking about.
Oh.
He's gonna love the New Crow. That's gonna be what gets Nate.
Yeah,
Dustin's gonna
he's
absolutely
gonna love the new and oh,
they're
I'll be so
gonna
pissed.
Love the new Skarsgård version, and Nate's just gonna be like, ah, he's gonna, Nate's gonna be the this? Yeah,
yeah, Nate's he's a SoundCloud rapper.
So I want to say this. I want to defend this design a little bit. Okay, let me go.
Yeah, I mean, you could die on that hill. That's cool.
No, there is a comic rendition that looks almost exactly like this character. So this isn't unprecedented. It's not a new design. So like, and it does make sense if you think about within the context of what the character was, and he's involved in a music scene. You can edit this out. The 90s grunge scene doesn't exist in 2023. You know what does? What probably is equivalent of that type of scene would probably be SoundCloud rappers and that whole thing.
That because I didn't know that with the comic. Is that Eric Draven though?
Yes.
I think it is. Yeah.
In the updated one. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm better with that then. It's like if they are doing the old
one. I'm still
one,
not going to see it.
Oh, I'm going to see it. It comes out the day after my birthday.
I'm going to see it because Skarsgård's still going to be great in it. That's what pisses
you.
Me
That's
off.
That's why I'm seeing it.
Here's what you got to remember. I'm not defending it, but we are staring at 1 millisecond of a scene in a movie.
We've seen 3 pictures of that stupid haircut and those stupid tattoos.
The haircut doesn't bother me. I love that the mullet's coming back. I don't care about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I support the mullet.
Yeah, we'll MacGyver the hell out of this. I don't care.
It's not a good mullet, though.
But what
there
I'm saying
are good
is,
Swayze mullets, and then there's that.
We are tearing apart
show you a
mullet. A scene, a clip. That will barely probably even be seen in the movie. And all I can do when I hear everyone ranting, and look, I'm not defending, but I also was one of the loudest people that was like, I do not want Heath Ledger as a Joker. And I had to eat my words.
Oh, yeah, I was there, too. Absolutely, I was there, too.
So I was pro Heath Ledger. But then Jared Leto, I saw that and went, well, that's going to be garbage. And I was
That was Jared Leto.
Yeah.
No one's going to defend Jared Leto.
I was absolutely right on
Jared
that.
Leto's
the Heath Ledger thing is what... The Heath Ledger thing is what changed my opinion on like not judging it until I
give it a chance.
The film. Yeah,
give it a chance.
Yeah, because that changed
That's
my
the
whole
thing.
Perspective.
Skarsgård's probably going to be great in it. I hate the character design.
The director is not my favorite either. So
who's directing it? I didn't realize. Didn't
I think
look
his
it up.
Name is, I think it's Rupert Sanders. I'm trying to think, remember what else he's done. He did Ghost in the Shell, and which is okay. And then
I didn't watch it.
And then there's a movie before he did that. I can't remember what it is now off the top of my head, but I remember I didn't like it. But
it's also been in production hell for like 15 years.
It was supposed to come out next year.
Oh
and
boy.
They moved it up to June.
Production hell.
They flip-flopped it with Ballerina because for some reason Ballerina needs reshoots, like pretty major reshoots. So I don't know what they were. And Ballerina is in the John Wick universe.
Yep.
So I don't know what they were screwing up with that
like
movie.
The vampire movie?
No, it's
the ballerina.
What am I thinking of? What's the what that has
Annabelle or something like that?
No,
that's coming out.
Is that what it's called?
It's the name of the girl.
Abigail.
Abigail.
I never want to think what you're thinking, Dustin.
No, what are you talking about?
the question that you posed, what am I thinking, is I don't know. I don't ever want to be in that brain of yours. No.
Yeah, no, Abigail is what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Yeah, no,
well, we also got to remember we're coming off of the strike, too, so they now need to space things out because they weren't making movies last year. But, yeah, so now I'm a little leery about what they're doing with the ballerina because I was looking forward to that.
Same.
But I'm going to go watch The Crow. I will go to theaters and see it, and I'll hold my thoughts for it. I mean, we got a remake of Roadhouse that's got everybody up in arms. I'm going to watch it.
I think it looks totally fun.
I'm going to have fun with it.
It looks way better than it had any right to be.
And I can watch it at home because it's going to be on Prime. So I don't even have to
Not to mention, Jake's got a 257 pack on his chest in that last still from the movie.
Shredded.
Good Lord. What?
There's still three really bad Crow movies, so...
Right, yes,
it's like really a bad one.
That's my thing.
Really bad TV show too. So there's even more bad.
Oh yeah, there was a bad TV
there
show.
Was a bad
yes.
TV show.
Wow.
That was my argument.
New.
That's my argument. Is everyone wants to poo-poo on this before we see anything? I was like, are y'all just forgetting that we had three really bad movies and a TV show after this? We're just going to ignore all that.
Edward Furlong's just out there walking around like he's over there like. Whew.
Don't look so bad now, do I?
Please don't remember my movie. all right. Well, that is... Wow. Okay. Stop it, Pete. Don't you dare do the let's wrap this up moment with your hand. You weren't driving.
Yeah. Who are you to even say, let's keep on going? We're going to start playing the Oscar music for you during all of February.
Look at me. Oh, it's almost his bedtime. That's why.
You get a little grumpy Pete.
All right. Well, Paul, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about your little podcast corner that you have going on?
So Paul and I are joined by our good friend, Sean. We are the trio that is the Flicks and Friends podcast. We are a variety movie podcast. Everything from spooky movies to action movies to animated movies. We theme our months. And we just have fun. We sit around just like you guys and just talk about movies. We're on every social media platform you can find. And on almost every podcatcher, I feel, minus iHeartRadio and YouTube.
Yep. Yep. And we were just on for Wayne's World not too long ago.
Wayne's World.
Listen to Pete. That's where I know these guys from.
Yeah.
Samsonite. I was way off.
Way off.
I'm going to grab that soundbite too from now on. I'm going to have that and the Chris Jericho soundbite. Those are added to the list.
You just made the list.
And where you can find them, you can also find us. We are on Facebook at Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. Both of us are on Instagram. We are on X, Threads, TikTok. We are on YouTube. So you won't find Dustin there, but you will find us. Where else are we? Well, hopefully we'll be coming back here pretty soon for the Action Elite streams on Wednesdays. Took a little bit of a hiatus. And Nate, what do we got on deck for next week? Or am I the one that's got to say what's on deck for next week?
Technically, I had in the what I thought was a surefire winner for the next vote was the Power Rangers movie. But apparently, the audience let us down. What? The audience decided not to vote correctly for next week, and they decided they were going to, throw away their votes for Last Action Hero, a movie that we could have done any other time, and I don't feel is very kid-friendly, and I don't know why I'm so upset about this, because I totally like this movie a lot. Yeah.
It is a kid's movie.
Compared to Monster Squad, it's tame.
It's as kid-friendly as Monster Squad. It's on the same level.
Yep. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so my memory could be very, very wrong as far as it not being a kid's movie. But no, you're one to talk with your memory, sir.
Who are you?
Where am I? What am I doing?
What is this? Who are you, ghost on a computer?
Pete said, Paul's been on the show 10 times before.
When could they start making the video move?
I can't get a word in.
Their sound. They're talking.
Someone say the library.
So, a little peek behind the curtain. The entire reason the poll got started was because I tossed out Last Action Hero should be one of our picks. And Nate was vehemently.
I threw a tantrum.
It. He did.
He's had like a temper tantrum.
He was not gonna happen. No. I'm arguing it. Then he tries to arbitrarily pull rules out of his ass and go, you know what? That movie's PG-13, and we can't do that on Kid Friendly Month. And then he picks Gremlins 2, which is just PG-13.
I thought Gremlins 2 was PG, to be fair, in my defense. Like,
I mean, Gremlins was.
All right.
Flashing Gremlins.
Gremlins would have been PG-13 had it came out later.
I'm an adult who doesn't Gremlins pay attention to a rating scale because I don't care because I'll watch all the movies that I want if it's R-rated or not. I don't care about the boo-boos and the bad words and the boobies. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. So
that's okay. Our listeners vindicated me and you guys picked Last Action Hero.
Yes.
And we're going to have a blast with it.
Much like Pete stacked the deck to make sure he won with this pick, you did the same thing because on an action movie podcast, having a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course he's going to win. Of course.
As he says here with two
Power Rangers is the way better movie to introduce kids to with action movies.
While Dustin and Paul sit here, no one can see it. They're holding Power Ranger VHSs. So he had votes.
I voted on both streams. I voted on every avenue I could vote because I wanted this movie.
You didn't recruit enough people.
You know what?
The problem is I didn't let people vote twice. So I knew double voting.
I was just trying to get people to step up Tive and Zoos.
She had sticks and it made a whistling sound.
Pete, calm down over there.
Pete's gone. So yeah, we are doing Last Action Hero, which is going to be our final movie for Kid Friendly Month. Mm-hmm. It's
also stupid, but whatever.
Shut up, Nate.
I'm probably going to quit the podcast at this
You're
point.
You're done being
No, so I'm you. Not. I'm so upset with the both of you.
You had the chance to add your picks, and the
you
people
had your picks,
voted. This isn't me going, forget you, Nate. I don't care what you say. I'm picking this. Let's let the people decide. That's what happened. That's democracy that you love so much.
I don't think I like it that much.
You just watched democracy leave in thunderous roar.
Well,
so,
I also have watched democracy do recounts and throw stuff away. And also, maybe I'm going to blame the machines, the voting machines, too.
Blaming the Instagrams
I'm blaming
and
the social medias because it probably shadow banned me.
This election was stolen.
Mark Zuckerberg in his fake news
didn't let Power Rangers seek the audience it was supposed to seek.
Well, Nate, when we cover Power Rangers, you are more than welcome to come on to the
good
show.
And don't invite these two.
We've already done Turbo.
We've already done Turbo.
Good. I don't want to do that one ever.
No, it's bad. It's real bad.
Nate's been on the record. It stops at the original group.
Yeah. That's when I quit caring about Power Rangers.
Did you watch the 2017?
Hell no.
Dude, it's good.
I like
it. Oh, wait. The movie. I'm sorry.
He did this the exact same time last time. Pete asked him if he's seen the new movie. He's like, no, I didn't. Wait a minute. Was that the movie? Yeah, I watched it.
That was actually a really good movie. I didn't really like that. Yeah. 17? I thought it came out like 2010 or something.
What's wrong with you?
You rub off on me sometimes.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Hey. You like it, don't you? Oh,
sometimes.
We're done rubbing things. Okay.
No, that movie was really good. Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, that's it for us tonight.
I didn't say
thanks.
Really good. I said it was.
They're still going. I don't know what's going on.
You gotta wrap it up, son.
We're done. It's over. Can I end the show? Yeah, Pete, I'm doing the Pete thing now. I'm like, wrap it up, boys. All right, Dustin. I know you're dying to do it, but why don't you get us out of here with the good word?
What's the good word?
I don't know. Whatever. It's a line usually.
It's whatever you
want
to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a line of the movie.
All I'm saying is you learned valuable life lessons from the Monster Squad, and that is Wolfman's got nards.
Wolfman's got nards.
Now, let's talk about how I get back home.
See what February does? People forget we do bits because we didn't want to do them during your movies, Pete.
Meow, meow. I think one of my favorite throwaway lines in this movie was how the dog get up here.
Oh, they're in the treehouse.
They're up in the treehouse. totally self-aware joke, and they're like, how did the dog get up here?
And it just goes to the next scene. I like the one where they're talking about, it's like, oh, no, I'm pretty sure we're at war with Vietnam. It said they said so in Rambo.
I missed that.
Hey, Nate, what is your letterbox?
Let's
Nate sucks at movies.com.